Hello, and welcome to the American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast. I'm Lindsay Mayland, and I'm so excited to be here with you. It's Labor Day, and the start of September always seems to signal the start of the busy season to me. You know, school is back in session for kids and grandkids, the holiday season is fast approaching, and I start to prepare for cooler weather by focusing my attention on home projects and cleaning and organizing. Sometimes it just feels like from Labor Day into the new year, there's a million to-do list items, and life starts to feel very rushed. Especially during the holidays, I can feel the stress and exhaustion start to creep up on me. And so in today's show, I wanted to talk about creating a self-care sewing ritual that can help combat some of that stress in our everyday lives. Now, many people use sewing, stitching, knitting, or crocheting as a way to relax and quiet the mind. A recent study reported that those who worked with their hands on a hobby have a wide range of perceived psychological benefits from their craft. These include relaxation, reduction in stress, a sense of accomplishment, connection to tradition, increased happiness, and more. And that's why sewing can be the perfect form of self-care. So I asked our staff for a few ways that they use sewing as a form of self-care. Not just as a hobby, but as more of a thought-out way to treat themselves and relax. So personally, I am a big planner. I like to-do lists, deadlines, and I am always busy with something. And that extends to my sewing life too. I join quilt-alongs and block of the months. I'm making quilts for specific holidays or for gifts. But that can sometimes cause extra stress in my life, and I don't always find myself sewing for enjoyment. So in the past few years, I've focused on having a project with no deadline and no pattern so I can work on it with no expectations. So I've been doing a hand-pieced quilt. I have no plans for colors. I just kind of choose what I love and no plan for the finished quilt. I'm just building on it as I go and I'll kind of see where it takes me. I've had this project at the ready whenever I just need to concentrate on something just for fun. And it's been really helpful for me to have something to sew with no deadlines so I can truly relax while I'm working on it. My coworker, Joanna, also feels the pressure of other projects. So for her self-care sewing ritual, she'll move her sewing machine out of her sewing room into the dining room table so she's not surrounded by other projects, her UFOs, and her creative mess. She has a clear space to work on a project that she's passionate about and really immerse herself in it without the guilt of seeing those other in-progress projects around her. And on the plus side, sometimes a change of scenery can get your creativity flowing. A few of my coworkers said they turn to favorite TV shows or music to help them recharge while they're sewing. I had to admit I laughed a little when my coworker Beth told me that she binges on reality TV while she sewed, because I think many people can relate to that guilty pleasure. She said she likes doing that because she doesn't have to pay close attention to the show while sewing, because they're usually pretty easy to follow along to. And then she doesn't feel like she's wasting her time watching the shows, and is instead being productive sewing her projects. Similarly, my coworker Allison made a special Spotify playlist of her favorite songs that she can listen to while she's sewing. There's songs she knows all the words to and that bring her positive feelings, and she said she always wants to keep sewing for one more song, which results in her getting a little extra done every time she sews. I love pairing your sewing with other favorite activities like this, whether it's watching a favorite movie, TV show, or listening to a favorite album or podcast. It feels really enjoyable. Or maybe you have a favorite snack or a favorite drink while you're sewing. Or light a favorite candle, obviously safely away from your fabric. Or put on a favorite pair of slippers or socks that you only keep in your sewing room. There are a lot of ways to make your normal sewing time feel extra special. The last self-care sewing ritual I want to share comes from my coworker Doris. She makes sure that toward the end of each day, she gets a little sewing time on a handwork project. She does projects like embroidery, English paper piecing, hand applique, and even some hand quilting. Slowing down with a handwork project helps her to calm her mind and relax before bedtime. In fact, I think a lot of quilters would agree with Doris that stitching and sewing can be very meditative, so making sure you do it regularly is a great goal. Even if it's just spending 15 minutes in your sewing room before, you know, the crazy mornings kick off, or 15 minutes at the end of the day to wind down, setting aside that special time for yourself can be really meaningful and good for your mental health as things get stressful and busy. Sometimes I even spend some time sitting in my sewing room and just looking through my fabrics just for fun. You know, no plan, just to touch and admire and dream. So I'd love to hear the ways our listeners make their sewing time one of self-care. So email me at apqpodcast@meredith.com. It's listed in our show notes. With all your ideas, I'd love to share more on a future podcast. So we're so excited to share these tips because this week's Sweet Quilty Home Challenge is to start a self-care sewing ritual. So this is the last week of our Sweet Quilty Home Challenge. We've had tons of fun these past 10 weeks. And if you missed the challenge or you want to catch up, visit our show notes for the link to see more about it. These challenges we did are good for every time of year. And there's always time to join and, you know, visit the resources and watch the videos and just, you know, have fun kind of exploring some of these ways to make your home cozy and a place to relax. We're going to take a quick ad break, but hang tight, because when we come back, we're sharing some quilty products we love and tips for how to use fabric panels. Welcome back. Now we're doing a segment called What We're Loving, where we share tools and products our staff loves right now. The first product is the Steady Betty Pressing Board. This board measures 12 inches square, is portable and lightweight, and you use the surface for pressing small pieces close to your machine, such as maybe for foundation paper piecing, or when you're at a quilt retreat and you don't want to get up to walk across the room to press units every time. You can even use the board while you're traveling. It can act as a design board to hold units in place, or even as a harder surface to do handwork on. Speaking of handwork and quilt retreats, the next product we want to share is called the Tote Trivet from the Gypsy Quilter. It's a zippered pouch that can hold small supplies as you travel, and then the pouch can convert into a little bowl shape by fastening small snaps in the corners. I love that you can carry your supplies securely in this zippered pouch, and then when you're ready to sew, you can take them out of the pouch, convert it into a bowl, and place your items in the bowl to keep things handy. I think I need one of these for my favorite binding tool, since I like to bind in the car. It sounds really handy to carry along with you. So I made a resolution years ago to label all my quilts, and the product that helped me keep it up were fabric panels with pre-made labels. And Figo Fabrics has a cute new one that we just love. It's a 24 by 43 inch panel that features labels in a variety of sizes, designs, colors, and it even features some super fun sayings. They leave room on the label for you to personalize things or write important details, and then you just cut it out and stitch it to your back of your quilt. So it's super easy. I highly recommend if you are struggling to label your quilts. This has kind of kept me going on it. So the next product is from Clover, and it's called the Sweet and Sharp Macaron. And it's shaped like the French dessert, and it comes in two pretty colors. So it's basically a magnetic holder so that you can store pins and needles where they're handy. It's small, so it's not meant to act like a pin cushion, but if you're just needing a few pins to do a project and you want to keep them close at hand and safe, this is for that. And then as an extra bonus, you can use the center cushion of this, which kind of looks like the filling of the macaron, to insert your needle or pin into it to sharpen it. So it's very clever, but it also just looks adorable. Some quilters like to make their binding in advance of finishing their quilt. And if this sounds like you, the Quilting Binding Spool from Stitch Supply Co. may be a handy tool for you. So it's an acrylic holder. It's shaped like a large thread spool. And you can wrap your binding around the holder to keep it neat and ready to go. And then the binding ends up looking like the thread on the spool. And it's a really cute design, and it comes in a lot of colors. Kind of like the Clover macaron product that I just talked about, neither of these tools is necessary to have in your space, but they're just cute little touches to have. Sometimes quilters just want cute things because they don't necessarily need to be like the most useful and space-changing products out there, you know? Okay, so now I have a few book recommendations. So the first is called Everyday Embroidery for Modern Stitchers, and it's by author Megan Ekman. So if you're interested in embroidery, this book is a great resource. It has a collection of 50 trendy designs, such as succulents, gemstones, cupcakes. So the designs are a little more modern and fun than, say, like more traditional embroidery. And then the book has iron-on transfers to help you outline the design on your fabric, and then you just stitch on the lines using whatever stitches you want. And then you can add this embroidery to purchased items or clothing items. I mean, you can even sew them into your sewing projects. But the book also includes 15 projects to get you started, too, if you're needing ideas. And the last book is Moda All-Stars On a Roll Again. This is the second book in the On a Roll series, which features fun patterns that use 2.5-inch wide jelly roll strips. The book was curated by Lisa Alexander and has 14 quilt patterns from your favorite Moda fabric designers. The quilts in the book are really creative, and it's just refreshing to see pre-cut strips sewn in new and exciting ways instead of just cutting and sewing strips together. So if you're a fan of strips, this book will really help jumpstart your creativity. Of course, it's hard to explain some of these products just over a podcast, so we'll link to all of them in the show notes so that you can check them out more and see how they work. Now it's time for Ask Us Anything, a segment where we answer your most pressing quilting questions. So this question came from Chrissy T. Brown, and she asks, "My fat quarter bundle came with a panel, but I'm not sure how best to use it. Any advice?" Great question, Chrissy. This same thing has happened to me in the past. It seems like more and more fat quarter bundles are coming with cute panels, but it's not always obvious how to use them. So I'm just going to throw out a bunch of ideas to you, and you can see if any interest you. So an easy option And one that's great if the panel is a single large design is to use the panel as a whole cloth and add a border or two to make a larger quilt. This is a great way to handle quilts you need to whip up quickly, maybe like a baby quilt or a holiday quilt. And you can do simple borders or even get more complicated and stitch your favorite blocks and matching fabrics to make borders, such as maybe star blocks or nine patch blocks. You can also do the same to add the panel to the backing. So I've done this before where I've centered the panel in the middle of my backing fabric and used kind of leftover fabric to enlarge the backing to the size I need. And it's just a really fun surprise when you turn the quilt around, and it almost makes your quilt double-sided. If you're not in love with the panel and you don't intend to use it, maybe use it to practice your machine quilting. You can use the panel to free motion quilt different designs or even follow the lines and curves of the motif to get a hang of the motion of quilting and gain extra practice. Then the panel won't totally go to waste, and if it looks nice, you can consider donating it to someone who will love it. Now, some panels are made up of a series of designs, or even separate squares that are meant to be cut up for blocks. So in this case, measure the squares and add a quarter inch on each side for the seam allowances. And then look for a quilt project with blocks that use squares of that size. So maybe these squares will end up as block centers in star blocks or maybe log cabin style blocks. Maybe you can use them as a replacement for pieced blocks in a larger quilt. Maybe they'll make great cornerstones in the borders of a quilt or in the sashing. And if you love applique, try cutting out the different motifs of the panel, then appliquing them to another project. So this can help kind of jazz up blocks and borders. Or you could even use a fusible web and add them to store-bought items like clothing, tea towels, or tote bags to create a customized look or an easy gift. And we also suggest looking at the fabric company or the fabric designer's website or social media pages. Many times they may have free patterns or suggestions of what to do with the panel that could be really helpful. So we hope this helps, Chrissy. Thanks so much for your question, and we can't wait to see what you make with your panel. If you have your own question to ask us, send us an email at apqpodcast@meredith.com. The email is listed in our show notes. We love hearing from our listeners. We're going to take a quick ad break, but we'll be right back to celebrate local quilt shops. Welcome back. The second half of this show is devoted to celebrating some local quilt shops who deserve recognition. So we're going to chat with All Brands Quilt Shop soon, but first, we wanted to share details about the newest issue of Quilt Sampler magazine and give a shout out to the featured shops. For those who don't know, Quilt Sampler magazine is our magazine that celebrates local quilt shops. The magazine comes out twice a year, and each issue features the stories and pictures of 10 amazing shops across North America. And then each shop designs an original quilt pattern, and that pattern is also featured in the magazine. This magazine is so unique that it has quilt patterns and these profile stories, and it's just full of yummy pictures. This magazine is also great if you're planning future vacations because you can pick out which quilt shops you might want to visit and plan your trip to that area. And it also allows you to shop from home. So if you see quilts, fabrics, tools, or, you know, kits in the pictures of the magazine, it may encourage you to shop at the shop's website if you can't make it to see them in person. So the fall-winter 2021 issue of Quilt Sampler came out a little more than a week ago, And it's so fun seeing the featured shops just get the attention and recognition they deserve. And it's fun to see their customers celebrate the staff and all of their hard work over the years. So here's a quick list of the shops we featured in this issue. See if any are in your area or ones that you've visited before. Cultured Expressions in Rahway, New Jersey. Meeting House Fabric in Wales, Massachusetts. Polar Fabric from Liberty, Indiana. Quilter's Corner from Midlothian, Virginia. Serendipity Quilt Shop in Dagsboro, Delaware. So Let's Quilt It in Dallas, Texas. Sisters Quilt Shop in Chehalis, Washington. Stitchcraft from Boca Raton, Florida. The Fabric Chick in Parksville, Missouri. And The Stitchery from Delavan, Wisconsin. So congrats to all these shops. If any of these shops are in your area, we hope you plan a visit to them and give them some love. And make sure to pick up your copy of Quilt Sampler magazine on newsstands or online at any of the featured shops. We'll link to where you can buy the magazine in our show notes, as well as all the shops so that you can support them. Now I'm handing the mic over to Doris Brunette, the editor of Quilt Sampler magazine. She's chatting with Callie from All Brands. Enjoy!
Hi, this is Doris Brunette, editor of Quilt Sampler magazine, with another installment of Love Your Local Quilt Shop, where we feature the community connections and success stories of independent quilt shops. Today I'm talking with Callie Champagne from All Brands in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Welcome, Callie. I'm happy to have the opportunity to chat with you.
Hey, Doris. Nice to chat with you, too.
I know All Brands goes back quite a few years and is a family-run business, even started out as a single mom-and-pop little quilt shop, fabric shop. Can you tell us a bit about the All Brands story?
Yeah. So over the years, we've been pretty true to our roots. We founded All Brands in 1976. And when I say we, I mean John and Annette Douthat, both of our founders. And they are still very heavily involved in our day-to-day operations. But two of their children, John F. and Barbara Douthat, are also really big players on our team. So we are still a family-owned and operated business through and through. We started our website in the mid-90s, and it's just been steadily growing ever since.
That's great. And I know that All Brands is one of the first, if not the first, like sewing machine dealer to sell sewing machines
yes.
on the web. So that's pretty
yes.
back in 1995,
because I remember. We are very proud of that.
I remember where the internet was at that point. So that's
yeah.
impressive. All Brands has 6 locations, is that correct?
Yes.
And does each shop carry fabric as well as machines and notions?
Yeah, so all of our locations sell machines, fabric, notions, you name it. Our corporate office, though, is in the same building as our Baton Rouge store. And that's where I've been and our entire corporate team have been for the last, since I've started in the last year and a half. They've been there for quite some time. And we do have 5 other stores. So we have our Baton Rouge store. Then we have our Louisiana stores in Lafayette, Slidell, Metairie. And then we have 2 Texas stores in Houston and San Antonio. I wouldn't consider them off the beaten path or anything like that, but we definitely have put them in locations that are really accessible to folks, both in the cities and their surrounding areas. And something that I really love, all of our store managers have just really put their personalities into the stores they run, which is so, so fun to see. And it's awesome chatting with every store manager and kind of what their store looks like and how they run it from day to day.
That's kind of fun. I like that they have the autonomy to do that too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat. And I've seen the virtual tour of the Baton Rouge store. I've not been there, but it's pretty impressive looking store from what you can see online. So All Brands has a long history of promoting sewing education, I know, and supporting various events such as student fashion competitions. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so we have participated in a lot of philanthropy efforts in Louisiana and in Texas, both in our community and out. Most recently in Houston, we've let members of Project Linus use our store classroom. If you're not familiar with Project Linus, it's essentially a group that sews blankets for children in need and donates them to hospitals, shelters, you name it. And then in our hometown of Baton Rouge, we do yearly donations of sewing machines to the winner of LSU's fashion organization, Hemline. They have a yearly fashion show, so we donate a machine to the winner. We also donate a new machine to the winner of our local 4-H chapter's fashion show. And I believe both of those happened just a few months ago. Time is kind of flying by, but I'm pretty sure they happened in like April, May, around there. And then last year, we worked pretty closely with the Arts Council of Baton Rouge and our local Salvation Army chapter to start a quilting project for the men living in the Salvation Army's local shelter. So they wanted something to decorate their beds in the shelter. So we offered machines and they got to quilting. They learned how to quilt and made their own quilts for their own beds. And it's been a really fantastic outlet for them. And we also work pretty closely with the Sewing Machine Project, and we have for some time. And they're a nonprofit that works to donate sewing machines to areas in need.
That's very cool. Yeah, I know that you've sent sewing machines to Haiti.
Yes.
Their natural disasters in that area, you've sent sewing machines to them. And I love the idea of that Salvation Army project. Like, how cool to teach them how to quilt instead of just giving them the quilts. Like a lot of places, you know, we give them finished quilts and that donated quilts myself to those kind of causes. But I love that you gave them the machines and taught them the skill. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's so nice. We actually saw one hanging up in Baton Rouge General Hospital. And there was a little plaque right underneath that said, you know, this one was created by the men of the local Salvation Army shelter. And that was just so amazing seeing it come back around. And the work was really incredible.
Yeah, that's just fabulous. And like, what a gift to give them, to like give them, you know, not only the skill, but something to create, to have pride into. That's a wonderful project. And I understand you recently donated machines to the theater department of a new charter school in Baton Rouge. I think that's also a great way to share the love of sewing, to give them the machines to do that. How do partnerships such as those come about? Do you look for them, or do organizations approach all brands to partner with those type of things?
It's a little bit of both. Honestly, we really try to keep our fingers on the pulse of each city that we have a store in. Mm-hmm. So sometimes customers will come in and mention a cause to our store employees, or we'll get an email from someone, and then they pass that information on to all of us. But if we hear about, you know, a group in need, we're going to try to find the best way to lend them a hand in any way that we can, for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And the theater department, that's kind of fun. That was kind of new to me. I'd not even thought of that before, but that's a good way to teach kids young, get them into sewing young. So
they're going to be in great shape, I think, especially for their costume designers.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt. So many shop owners that I've spoken to in the last 18 months share how they've had to pivot business practices when the pandemic hit in 2020. Tell me what that looked like for the All Brand stores.
Yeah. Well, once we realized, you know, last summer, we realized that COVID wasn't going away anytime soon, you know, back when we all thought it was going to be 2 weeks and then everything was done. Oh, how naive we were. Yes. But we knew that we didn't want to leave our customers alone and stuck at home, because everybody was just kind of sitting there, you know, with bated breath waiting on what was going to happen. So we decided to pivot pretty quickly. We started our own live show from home just to make up for the lack of in-person classes that we had, and we knew that our customers really enjoyed. So we tried to give them the experience without having to go into a potentially unsafe environment, especially because we do work with a lot of folks who are older. So for the past year, we've been doing that. We've also done at least one live show per week on Facebook and YouTube. So we have our live show called the All Brand Show that we do. We cover a wide variety of topics, you know, ranging from machine tutorials to what needles might be best for your certain or your current project. And honestly, this strategy has been working really, really well for us. Our customers are really enjoying it, and it's nice because you don't just have to be in one of our six cities that we have a store in to come in and still benefit from all of the knowledge that, you know, our team and our guests have to offer.
Right. I think that's one of the positives that's come out of this last year is for businesses that have latched on to particularly the Facebook Live and using their websites is that their reach is just, you know, there's no limits geographically. So I think
skyrocketed.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's been a good 18 months since we've been able to go to any quilt shows, live quilt shows, including Quilt Market and Quilt Festival. And I understand that that's a big part of the All Brands business every year. I know you have a presence at Quilt Festival typically. I was just curious what you did to turn virtual Quilt Festival last fall into a successful alternative to greeting people face-to-face at your vendor booth.
Yeah. So for last year's festival, we really extended the efforts that we had, that we had already been focusing on for the All Brand show. So for the entire 3 days of the festival, we broadcasted to Facebook and our YouTube for 8+ hours a day from two separate booths. We had our brother booth and then we had our All Brand small booth that was different brands, notions, et cetera, irons, you name it. This brought in just a ton of new customers because, again, people didn't have to be in Houston to get all of the knowledge, all of the deals that we were offering, which was really awesome for us. Now, you know, despite things sort of going back to normal, but also shutting back down, we're in a bit of a sticky situation. We're still developing new ways to keep all of the customers that have come to us from either the Quilt Festival or even just the All Brand Show, and keeping them engaged and giving them what they want. Currently, we are focusing a lot of our efforts on generating in-house video content, specifically content that is more snackable than, say, an hour-long show. So something you can just open your phone or hop onto YouTube and watch maybe a two-minute or less or shorter video. And we're also curating more content to make our social media presence just an extension of all of the know-how and the how-to stuff that we feature on our site and on the longer format All Brand Show.
Very cool. So was any of that content from that you did during Virtual Quilt Festival, was that specifically just live? Have you been able to keep any of that content like on YouTube?
Yeah. So we've kept everything from the Quilt Festival on our YouTube channel. And it's nice to kind of look back and see, you know, just how big the Quilt Festival has gotten year after year and how big we've gotten just over those couple of years. You know, I'm in charge of the YouTube channel. So going back and seeing some of those old videos is really interesting. And I think it's so cool. But we keep everything on there. So we just try to be an absolute encyclopedia of knowledge with everyone that we've hosted on the show, the Quilt Festival, all that.
That's great. Yeah, that is a good way to go back and track the growth of the company.
Definitely.
For you, since you said you've been with the company for a year and a half, a good way for you to learn more about the history of the company.
Oh, absolutely.
Past before your time. So, well, thanks again for joining me today, Callie. I've enjoyed talking to you. You want to tell folks where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, so we have an Instagram that is at allbrands1976. Our YouTube channel is All Brands Corporate. And then our Facebook page is just allbrands.com. And we go live every single week on Facebook and YouTube for the All Brands show. And it's been super fun. So definitely hop on in and come say hi.
Great. Well, I look forward to seeing some of your new shorter videos that you're going to be putting out too. So thanks again for joining me and all of us here at American Patchwork and Quilting wish you and all of All Brands the best year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Doris. We'll link to more about All Brands as well as their website and social media in our show notes so that you can connect with them more. Their videos sound very fun to tune into. Everyone have a great week, and we'll chat with you all next week.